just pray now that you'll have a great time as you go out, and just for you children to learn more about the things of God. And we just pray this day, Lord God, that as these children just can come before you, Lord. Lord, as we shared this morning, these children are a gift from God. You are a gift, a precious gift. And so we pray, Father, for your spirit to be upon them. Lord, you'll continue to pour out your favour upon them. Lord, these young children in these growing years, Father, you'll have your hand of protection upon them. Lord, you'll care for them and nurture them and protect them in every way. So, Lord, as they go out now, we just pray, Father, that they'll have a really good time this morning, and as they learn more about you, Lord Jesus, and that you would grow strong in their hearts. You know, there's a scripture that I love in the Psalm 23. It says, surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. And that's what I want for each one of you children, that God's mercy will be with you all your days of your life. And I trust that will be a long time for you all. I bless you this morning. Have a great time. Amen. Good Lord, I'd like to share this morning too about you are important, and also Brother Amos, good to see you back. I thought you had deserted us. When you first spoke about it, I thought you said 3 weeks, but it was nearly 3 months. So it's good to see you back, and Wilmot will be back in a week or two. Yep, so it's good to see you back this morning. Okay, it's this morning I'd just like to share about you are important. Do you believe that today, that you are important? And so that's what I'll speak about this morning, but just share a few things. Years ago, there was a TV show called Kojak. Remember that? Kojak. And it starred Telly Savarus as a lollipop-sucking detective who always went around saying, "Who loves your baby?" I forget how he used to say it, but so the question I asked this morning, who loves you? Who loves you? And but I think one thing that people need to hear more than anything else, to know that we are loved, amen? To know that you're loved, to know that you're important, to know that you mean something to somebody. To know that we are loved. A lot of people have a saying, God loves you, and so do I. We know God loves us, but when we say, so do I, you know, that's a pretty powerful statement, isn't it? And some, if you say you love someone, well, we have to love them. It's a command that we love one another. But when we make statements and using God's name, saying, hey, God loves you, and so do I, well, we better mean that and be consistent with that saying, and loving people all the time, not just some of the time. When things are not right, when someone says something, we get upset, all that type of thing. So we have to be consistent. If we say we love some, we need to love, really mean that. And we know sometimes without love, we know often people feel worthless, unimportant and useless. And we all know everyone needs to feel love, don't we? Amen? And to feel useful, and to, most of all, to feel worthwhile. And often we tend to compare ourselves with other people. And sometimes we consider ourselves better than them. And sometimes we crave to be as good as they are. And we seem to just base our levels of importance on several things. It's all about our appearance, about our achievements, our being approved by others, our wealth or power. You may even question yourself asking, do I look good enough? Have I done enough? What will others think of me? Am I important enough or powerful enough? And every one of these areas are based on one thing, how we rate ourselves. How we rate ourselves, do we live up to all these standards and expectations that other people may put on us or have upon us. The question and statement, we need to be loved, don't we? We need to be that. We need to be accepted and to feel our self-worth. And often the problem of our self-worth, it just continues to change all the time because our things are not always stable, are they? Things do change, mostly depending on moment-to-moment circumstances. Things change all the time. We are all aware of that. Things happen and appearances change. Things aren't what you expect them to be. And there'll always be somebody who can do more than us and can do it better than us. So we look at people in many different ways, but in our walk of life, one bad choice can throw you into even deeper turmoil and turn your life upside down. So what I want to say this morning, God doesn't want you to be in that place where you're not able to identify the value of self and your true worth and the value of your true worth. It is important. It's important to you. It's important to God who loves you. And just a little illustration, a gemstone dealer was strolling through one of the shows, a gem and mineral show in Tucson, Arizona, when he noticed a large bluish coloured stone about the size of a fist or a potato. And he asked the vendor on the stall, he said, how much do you want for it? And the vendor said, I'm trying to get $15 for it. But since it wasn't that flash, he let it go for $10. The stone has since been certified as a 1,905 carat natural star sapphire, larger than any stone of its kind. It was appraised at $2.28 million. The value of your true worth. And that's often how we see ourselves, how we look at other people. They might look a bit rough on the outside, but we know inside they have a heart, they have a spirit that just wants to reach out and to touch other people. It took a lover of stones to recognise that sapphire's worth. But it took Jesus Christ to recognise the true value of people like you and me. A lover of souls, Jesus. And so what I want to say here this morning is God knows your worth. God knows your importance. And I encourage you, if you want to build your self-image, build it on something that will last. And I can say only one thing, that the things of God are eternal. Amen? The things of God are eternal, where the things of the world grow strangely dim in the light of his wondrous face. Build on what God thinks of you, not on what the world thinks. When we understand what God thinks of us, you know, it changes the way we see ourselves. And that as we change, it starts changing our hearts to be more Christ-like. And so this morning, there's a very good example in the New Testament that involving a man named Zacchaeus. And I'd like to share a little bit about Zacchaeus this morning. So Zacchaeus was a man who lived in the city of Jericho, who had a life-changing experience just through spending time with Jesus. In Luke 19, verses 1 to 4, Luke 19, I'll probably read a little bit more down, but just here at Jesus and Zacchaeus. Jesus entered Jericho and made his way through the town. There was a man there named Zacchaeus. He was the chief tax collector in the region, and he had become very rich. He tried to get a look at Jesus, but he was too short to see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree beside the road, for Jesus was going to pass that way. When Jesus came by, he looked up at Zacchaeus and said, "Quick, come down. I must be a guest in your home today." And the scripture tells us Zacchaeus quickly climbed down and took Jesus to his house in great excitement and joy. And I'll leave it there at this point of time. But as we've seen there, that Zacchaeus was hoping to see this person, Jesus, the man that everyone was talking about. And Zacchaeus, because of his standing in the Jewish community, as it said there in the scripture, he was a tax collector, a wealthy man. He was very short in stature, and he was ridiculed by the people. And I will read one verse there. It says, "But the people were displeased. He had gone to be a guest of a notorious sinner, they grumbled. They didn't see any good in Zacchaeus, but Jesus Christ did, and he called Zacchaeus. But so I would say Zacchaeus' approval rating would have been very low and in need of self-esteem and worth. And of all those things, first of all, to become a tax collector, you had to bribe an official. So that was one thing against him. The other thing, your family would disown you. So that would be really discouraging, not to be a part of our family, to be a part of your family. And so Zacchaeus was in that situation. And he would never be allowed to worship in his synagogue, a place of worship. He just wouldn't have been able to go there anymore. And he would have been treated as bad as a murderer at that time. So he had lost all self-respect about himself. And as a result, what we see here, that Zacchaeus was miserable on the inside. So how do we know that? Well, I think it's a very simple answer. I know because if you can't be guilty on the inside and have a guilty conscience upon you and feel good about you at the same time. Would you agree with that? That if we're feeling guilty about something, how can we feel good about it? But one day, I want you to take hold of this today. One day, in a brief encounter with Jesus, his life changed. His life changed. And it was because he learnt how much he mattered to God. Jesus gave an invitation to Zacchaeus, and Zacchaeus responded. Zacchaeus responded to the call, and of all the people in that great crowd, it seems there was a great crowd there. Everywhere that Jesus went, crowds followed. We read that often in the scriptures. But of all the people in that crowd, Jesus Christ singled out this person, Zacchaeus, a man probably hated in the community. Here was Zacchaeus perched up in this sycamore fig tree, looking down, trying to get a glimpse of Jesus coming past. And as we see that Jesus seen Zacchaeus and cried out to him, "Today I want to come to your house and share a meal with you." What a invitation. And as we know by reading the scripture there, is that lunch with Jesus changed everything for him. The Spirit, salvation came his way, and the Spirit of God entered in and into him. And in saying that, you know, I think it's a good example for all of us. Just as Jesus gave that invitation to Zacchaeus for him to come down out of the tree, because today I want to have lunch with you. I want us to go out and have a meal together. But more so, he said, I want to go to your home and share it in your home. So I think there's an encouragement to us all here that, you know, we all know people, we all have family, and I think it's a good time that as we read something like this to be able to say, yeah, this week I'll invite someone to lunch. This week I'll invite someone to come and have a coffee with, and to have lunch with, to have a coffee and take time to build a relationship with and to share your thoughts and desires. And if you ask that friend, you may be an unsaved person. You know, that could be a life-changing experience for them, just having lunch with them, just as it was for Zacchaeus. And this morning I'd like to say, if you're feeling down or a little empty today, this is where God wants you to be right now, here in his house, because here we can receive hope when things are going wrong. Here we can have hope because we know that we matter to God. Amen? We know that we matter to God. And also, well, why do you think Jesus called Zacchaeus like that? I think it's because he knew his heart. He knew that his heart was hurting. He knew that his heart was emptied. And Jesus knew that Zacchaeus needed him to be his saviour, the one that was going to restore him and give him confidence. So I asked this morning, you know, and say, you might be up a tree today, or you may be out on a limb ready to fall off. And you may think God has forgotten you, but in reality, there's never been a time when God has taken his eyes off you. Just like to ask, have you ever, excuse me, have you ever thought you've ever had, or there's been a time when God has taken his eyes off you? We probably all have thought that at some time. And you've probably said, well, where are you, God? Where are you? But in reality, there's never been a time when God has taken his eyes off you. Even though we might have taken a step backward and been asking why, where, God's always been there, just waiting for us to reach out and to say, God, I need your help. I need your help. We may have a hard time imagining God paying attention to us, because quite often, as I just said, we don't always pay that much attention to God. We leave him out of a lot of things. And we may not be looking toward God every second of every day, but his mind is always on us. His mind is always on us. And you might feel that others think you are worthless, but you matter so much to him that he let his son die for you. We heard that during communion time. And again, just to remind ourselves, Jesus died for our sake. Jesus died for us that we might come into that place where we could live in a life of freedom and enjoy that abundant life that he's given us to seek out. In Luke 12:7, it said, chapter 12, verse 7, Jesus said, and the very hairs on your head are all numbered. So don't be afraid. You are more valued to him than a whole flock of sparrows. Just imagine that, that God thinks that we are so valuable. And I think that's what an awesome thought. What an awesome thing to be for him to be able to say that we are more so valuable to him. And as I said, I think it's just an awesome thing. And to have that knowledge and the presence of God in our lives and knowing that God is there no matter what. And we know that God gave that precious promise. Jesus said, "Lo, I am with you always, even to the very ends of the earth." And so it's an everlasting, it's eternal, eternal life, that life that Christ has given us. And just to be able to imagine that, and as I said, what an awesome thought for God to say that for us through the words of Jesus. And so for our own well-being, I think we just need to stop depending on other people and to feel worthy and to start depending on God. Because, you know, we're people, we're flesh and blood, aren't we? Often we let each other down. We say things that we don't mean to say, often don't mean to say, and we hurt people. And as we know, words are a powerful thing. There's something, once it's said, you know, we can't erase it. And we may try to put it away, but somehow it always seems to keep coming up. But I encourage you today to be the people that God wants us to be. In Ephesians 2:10, we find out there that we are God's masterpiece. You believe that? And that's an awesome thing, an awesome promise there that God values us so much. That's how he sees us, a masterpiece. And we are not mass produced by God just to be like other people. We are created by his own word, amen? By his word, that we are that type of people, that we are masterpieces, and we're made unique for good purposes, for godly purposes, where we say, "I can't see my value because all that has happened to me." But God says, "I can see all your value in spite of what has happened to you because Jesus wants you." And as I said just a moment ago there, that I just want to track back a little bit, that where I said that how God wants us to be in a right place, how we, you know, we can receive hope, excuse me, and all that thing. But what I just wanted to say, you know, there before, that help is on its way. We see that out on TV, the RACV, what's it say? Come on, help is on its way. And like I said this morning, if you're feeling a little bit down or a little empty, well, help is on its way. Help is there if we're willing to just ask and recognise the place that we may be in, and that help is there through the person of Jesus Christ. And if we're like Zacchaeus and responded to the invitation that Jesus Christ gave to him to come down out of that place and to spend time with him, we will be much better for it. And that's what God wants us to do, to follow the call, to heed his call, and to come to know him in a wonderful way and to walk and have relationship with him. And also, I just believe it's the hardest thing for us to understand is that no matter what we have done in our lives, God still wants us to have personal relationship with him. Personal relationship with him. And it's just as I come to a close there, but I think the truth is we're a lot like Zacchaeus. We have all done things, we've all hurt others, but the thing for us to grasp hold of today is that that Jesus is far more interested in changing us than he is in condemning us. He is not a God of condemnation. It says that in Romans 8, that there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. And so we walk in that promise and hope that God is all with us, always with us. And so as he looks at you, he says, I know you, I love you, and I want you in spite of all that you've done. And I want you to love me and have a relationship with me. Today, as an invitation was extended during communion time for anyone here today, if you don't have a relationship with Jesus, if you don't know that this man Jesus Christ, today is a good opportunity to say yes. Today I want to hand my life over to Jesus. Today I want to be walking God's way. Today I'm sick or fed up with what the world's telling me. And I want to get in a better place. I want to lead a new way of life. I want to leave a lot of things behind. And I want to walk in a new and living way. There's an old song we used to sing. It's a new and living way, walking in it. And that's all God wants for us, to be in a right place, to be in a right frame of mind, to have godly thoughts and the Spirit of God upon your life, upon my life, always leading and guiding us and directing us and showing us his ways. And God says, you know, as we ask, he says, I will walk with you. And that's another powerful promise that we are not destitute. I shared that God will always be with us, even to the very ends of the earth. So this morning, just as I close there, Zacchaeus, it seems to be a story just told in Sunday school, and we don't seem to preach about it a lot, but I just felt led to share that this morning, that here in a crowd of people, Jesus walks by and he says out, hey, Zacchaeus, come down. Today I require of you. Today I want to spend time with you. And that's God's heart today. That's the cry that goes out to a lost and hurting world, a lost and hurting communities that we live in, that to let them know, to give them opportunity to come to a place of salvation, to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord. And so we rest in that promise, in that hope that God is always with us and he will take care of us. So again, we know that there's no better place to be. And I think I can testify it, and I could get 100 testimonies here this morning of what God has done in your life. And so if there's anyone here this morning, if you need prayer for salvation and for any other reason, healing, just feel free to take the opportunity to come forward, and we will be only too happy to stand and pray with you folk this morning. And Father God, again, we just bless you for this wonderful day, the wonderful occasion, Lord, for being able to share together as family and friends, just to come together and to witness the baby Ezekiel's dedication. Again, Father, we just lift him up to you, Lord, for the struggles of a little man just coming into a world of bewilderment. And every day he learns new things. Every day will be a new day to him. And that's what it'll be like for those who want to know Jesus. That's what it'll be like for those who know Jesus. That every day is a new day. And so we walk in that. And so, Lord, for this great time we've had this morning, for the sharing of your word, Father, we just pray, Father, Lord, as we just go about our various way, for your spirit to be upon us, Father God. Lord, for the week ahead, Father, the challenges that come our way, we just ask, Lord, for your strength, Father, to endure all things, all things. And so, Lord, we just bless you now. We just thank you again for this wonderful time, and Lord, for the time of fellowship that we have together. And so we just look to you and know that you are with us. Bless us now. Dismiss us with your peace. In Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. Thank